With me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I hope you've had a good day today. I'm sure you've had some moments to remember 9/11, 2001, and I'm sure that most of you here could probably tell exactly where you were at that moment of the day. And no more than 20 seconds to let us know where you were on that day when you first heard or saw Twin Towers being hit and attacked that September 11th morning. Somebody want to start us off? Yes, Mr. Ralph. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Wow. And that's when you were state senator, Mr. State Representative. Okay. Wow. How about that? Someone else. Yep, Wes? How about that? In school at that time at Elon. That's right. Someone else. Ms. Doris. Yep. Someone else. Where were you? Yep, Tammy? How about that? You were a first grader. How about that? How about that? Someone else. Yep, Julian? You were on your way to Germany? You were in Germany. On your way home. And they got... Oh, Vietnam. Okay. Sent back. Wow. Everything shut down, didn't it? Tanya? Wow. Yes, it was. Yep. Wow. Absolutely. Dan? Yeah. It's very shocking, humbling, all at the same time, devastating. Yes, Alex? Yeah. Wow, you were pretty young then, right? You said in mom's arms. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Michaela?
Oh, wow. About to go see the Blue Angels, and it closed. Is somebody back here? Yeah, Jordan. How about that? Wow. Someone else. Yeah, Billy. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Someone else. It is. It's just a vivid picture there of all that took place. Joanna just did the summer children's program. I believe the last Bible lesson she did was based off the Todd Beamer story. And how all that went about, and how his courage was on display, and other flyers there, others that were there with him, just the bravery they showed, the self-sacrifice they showed, even in that instance. And, I was in the Coast Guard at the time, just been in 2 years, and same thing, a couple of you mentioned, we heard about it, the news was on, and then we saw the second one hit, and boy, changed our world, didn't it? It really changed our world. Yes, Timothy? You were home. How about that? Yeah. Well, I think it's important for us to talk about it and remember it. Such a tragic time, but I was reminding my kids this morning, as tragic as it was, and it was, but it was also a time that we just don't remember the evil that was on full display that day, which it was, but we also remember the great courage that was shown from the firefighters that went in, and the policemen and the medics that went in. When everyone else was coming out, we remember all of those that were there that day assisting, helping. We remember the families of all those, of course, that lost their loved ones. And as I mentioned about Todd Beamer and others that charged the cockpit and were able to bring that plane down, there are so many that we think of. And, and not only that, but we think of the unity that was on display. And I realize, and I don't want to be a pessimist here, I realize it was not long-lived, but nevertheless, there was a unity, bipartisan, and it reminded me, I told my kids this morning, I said, look, these are the things that we need to remember, that America is capable of being united, and I believe people turn their hearts toward God. I believe there was an element that was there as well, and I believe it made a great impact on many people. I'm sure there were many saved during that time. And those are things we do want to remember for sure, and grateful for all that took place that day in the light of courage and grace. I think at the same time, I realize that it was an opportunity for Christians to be an example of forgiveness, forgiving our enemy, if you will. That's something that we have to exhibit as well, and is something that we don't find easy, but we certainly know it's right, and to extend forgiveness even those that wish harm upon us. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we cower and do nothing. Our country responded, and we saw that in full display as well. And finally, of course, because of the courage of our men and women over the years in Afghanistan and others that gave their lives, we think about not just 9/11, but that war on terror. That was not in vain. even though they botched the departure of Afghanistan a while back, and that was devastating to see. But even that, as bad as that was and as difficult as that was to watch, I want to tell you, none of the blood that our men and women gave those 10 years in Afghanistan was in vain. Not it was not in vain. And I'm grateful for those. All of our branches of the military were in full force, just serving, assisting, fighting, protecting, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And I think of 2011, I believe it was, when SEAL Team 6 went in there in Pakistan and took out Usama bin Laden and his compound, and the courage of those men and all that went into hunting that evil man down. And I just think it's very important for us to remember and to be thankful, and also to teach our children. I want to encourage you, please talk to young people about this. You know, I always appreciated my grandparents telling me about Pearl Harbor, you know, and of course, you know, that in the early 40s taking place, but just understanding how that impacted and would change the course in many ways of America in many ways. And so it's important to remember those things, and at the same time to be able, from a biblical worldview, say, God, we're so thankful that you are indeed sovereign, and that none of these acts of evil have taken you by surprise. And we're going to trust you, Lord, as difficult as it is for us to understand. We're going to trust you. And it's another opportunity for Christians to look to the Lord. But just thought that I didn't plan on even doing that tonight. But I just believe the Lord would have us just remember those things. And we'll remember others in prayer tonight as well. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, as I get my notes somewhat organized up here. Tonight I am beginning a series. I don't know how long it'll go. Not as long as Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. As much as I enjoyed that, it's like the man that fell down the stairs and got up and said, I'm glad that's over. So, you know, sometimes it's time to move on. But nevertheless, the book that I'm using, at least as a spring off to address some of these subjects, I'm pulling from other resources and my own study, but it's called The Woke Agenda and Its Influence on Churches and Colleges, written by Brother Paul Chappell. And again, it's just about a 37 page little booklet. He hits the highlights of some of the approaches that are found in the woke ideology. And so I feel like it's important for us as a church to, of course, identify it, but not only identify it, but I believe it's important to know how we are to respond to it, because I do not want to respond to something I disagree with hatred. And I don't think you do either. But you know, if we're not careful, we'll fall into the same trap as many others who adhere to some of this ideology. We'll fall into this trap that they exhibit, that they practice. In other words, if you do not agree with what I'm saying, you hate me. You're a racist or a bigot. You're just truly an evil person for not agreeing with the way I see things. And you know, that's not the way Christians look at it. I believe that every human being has the capacity to believe the Bible and has the option to believe the Bible. But if they don't believe it, I'm not going to hate them because they don't believe it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to love them like Jesus tells me to love them. If a man, and I'm not going to get too much into it, but I'm just kind of giving some opening comments here. If a man wants to be a woman, or a woman wants to be a man, I can't prevent that. I don't have anything to do with the fact I can't choose for that person. But what I can do is I can love them even though I don't agree with them. And loving them means I give them the truth. I give them the truth of God's Word with love. And you can go through all these categories that we're going to discuss as we dive into this series. I just want our church to be protected. We guard our hearts from getting indifferent, getting resentful, and truly bitter towards this ideology, toward the people of this ideology. Now, with that being said, I do believe that we can strongly, with love, but strongly oppose these ideas and philosophies that are opposed to God. We certainly can take a strong stand on those things. But here's where it is. I can still give them a right hand shake or a hug if it's appropriate. I can show the love of God. And going back to 9/11, when that happened, hey, didn't matter whether you were Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, didn't all those things, social status, ethnicity, all of those things, whew, out the window. Because we realize that we're all made in God's image, at least in our spirit, in our conscience, we realize that, because God made us to realize that even through our conscience, that we are made in the image of God, even though many people reject that, I know. But nevertheless, we know that we can always have a common love for one another, even with our differences. Now, again, God's people must stand for truth, and we must stand against error. It's not enough to say, well, this is what I believe, but it's also to say, hey, this is what I don't believe, and this is why. And God's people are called. We look at the book of Jude and other epistles that Paul wrote. It is clear that, and even this book we're looking at here, Colossians, Gnosticism was prevalent. It was rampant in the church, and Paul was dealing with it. And by the way, as I'm going to mention here in just a minute, it had the idea of these higher ideas, that new revelations that they were coming to, and that's what we see in a lot of this woke ideology. The idea of woke is the idea of being awakened. Now, all people that adhere to necessarily wokeism are not necessarily evil, or intend to be evil, or have an evil motivation. Some of it can be ignorance. Some of it can, there's so many different strains and streams of it, and so many offshoots of it. I'm not going to sit here and try to group all of this in one. That's an impossibility. But what I will try to do in the next several weeks, as the Lord will allow us, is just to talk about, first of all, what we believe as a foundation from a biblical world view. And we could call it waking up in a woke culture. So let's look at our verse, Colossians chapter 2. I'm just going to start with verse number 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. You notice the theme here, don't you? Everything's talking about our relationship with Christ. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, verse 8. beware lest any man spoil you. This idea is take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. That's so vitally important, that those two words at the end of that phrase, of men, tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. And notice the next four words, and not after Christ. For in Him, that's Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. By the way, if you make it a habit of writing in your Bibles, would you write out to the side of this verse, the deity of Christ? It's an excellent verse that speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for just Your people and just being able to be together tonight. And we just, Lord, realize we're in a dark world and there's so much wickedness that seems to be prevailing. And I just trust that You'll anoint us with wisdom, discernment, the fullness of the Spirit in such a way that we can speak the truth in love and not apologize for our stand, but Lord, to realize that a lot of things in this world are only going to get worse as You tarry Your coming. So help us to be prepared, Lord, even as we study this through this series. I don't claim to be a expert on this topic, Lord. You know my heart. I stand before these precious folks realizing, Lord, I feel like somebody could do a lot better job at this, but Lord, I'm just praying You'd lead us in this study and our prayer time to follow, and God, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so what I want to realize here is that it was happening there in the church of Colossae as well, when Paul said, beware lest anybody take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit. Even the tradition of men. And I want to just say, as a foundation, when we talk about wokeism and woke ideology, it is man-made. Man-made. It is man-centered. Man-centered. It is, everything revolves around man in this ideology. What's wrong with that picture? From a Christian standpoint, God's out. And I'll get into some of that, because a lot of the foundation of this ideology, specifically what we're talking about here, comes from Marxism. A man by the name of Karl Marx in the late 1800s started teaching these philosophies. It's interesting, Karl Marx was in an evangelical home in the young years of his life, and went off to school in Germany, the university, and totally got lambasted with humanism, humanistic theology, life apart from God. And so you can trace what we see here as a culture. There's a foundation to it. And basically, in many ways, you could say this, and I don't mean to oversimplify, but just as an idea, from a biblical standpoint, woke ideology totally attacks Genesis 1 through 11. As we see the creation account, the fall of man, as we even see God use a man by the name of Noah and the flood, and all of those things, we'll look into some of that. But not only Genesis 1 through 11, but all of the Word of God, and even especially the New Testament, on the way that we ought to see one another and see this world through God's eyes. So, over the past really several years, that this term woke, as Brother Chappell puts it, has been used to describe people who are awakened to injustices in society. Now, there's one thing for sure. Are there injustices taking place in society? Oh, yes. Absolutely. No one denies that. Many Christians though, that are committed to displaying the love of God for the oppressed, sometimes have eagerly and too quickly embraced this term, not realizing everything that goes with that term. All the beliefs and foundations of that term of the woke movement, because the earlier definition may have been just more general, speaking of people just being awakened to social needs, social justice attention. And no one would argue that those things need attention. Thank God that we do, as God's people, seek to make an impact and to bring attention when there is injustice anywhere around us. Whether, you know, on a smaller level is in the Jennings household, when when somebody either gets smacked because they stole their toy, you know, it's like one of the kids, you know, hey, that's my toy. No, it's not. You know, hey, that was unjust. That was some injustice going on there. And, and it happens all the way up through society in many ways. But there's a reason why there's injustice. And that's one of the areas that woke ideology and a Bible-believing Christian, you say, why do you say Bible-believing Christian? Because there are Christians out there that don't believe the Bible, that call themselves Christians. But a biblical worldview is that one of the things that we believe as far as injustice is concerned, it is all related to the man and his sin problem. It's sin. It's not your ethnicity. It's not the skin color. It's not but your social level of how much money you have in the bank. It does not have to do with that. The reason mankind is unjust and the reason mankind does wicked things is because his heart is against God. And men do wicked things because we are all inherently sinful, born into this world. And the only solution to that sin problem is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. And when we realize that that is the solution to man's sin problem, that indeed is the answer. That is who is going to bring redemption and reconciliation. And we're going to look into that because Ephesians chapter 2 shows us a beautiful picture of God bringing all these people from different backgrounds, different ethnic groups and whatnot, all under the head of Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. But the woke ideology has created, even like such as Marxism, has created this idea that there is some sort of secretive underlying system going through society that is created and designed for there to be only two types of people. As Karl Marx would say, there is only the oppressor and the oppressed. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there is a God in heaven, the great three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who is the eternal God, and there is his creation, mankind. And man has turned against God. And when man turns against God, man becomes and is extremely selfish, extremely cruel, extremely jealous, and extremely greedy and lustful. It's the heart of mankind that must be addressed. Woke ideology does not even like to talk about the word sin. sin's not the problem, as they would teach in many ways. They would teach things like marriage between a man and a woman is the problem. They would teach gender binary. A male and female is the problem of society. Just teaching that is the right way. Heteronormativity. I hope I said that right. But basically that word teaches a marriage between a man and a woman. The ethnicities of people and so on is what they would go on to teach is the problem. But as we know God's creation, we understand all of mankind is made in God's image. And these are vain philosophies that are going out and they're penetrating even into churches, sadly. Men like Andy Stanley and Rick Warren and others who are, in order to make the message more palatable and to make people the whole as a culture feel more comfortable in their churches, they're softening and changing the message and their views upon conviction, and it's wrong. I don't know their motives. I can't judge a man's motives. That's God's work. I don't have the authority, but I can judge a man by what he does and says as far as discerning what he's doing. And we must as a church. We got to be discerning. We have to compare everything through Scripture. Because going back to woke ideology, this is what we have to understand. What is the authority to woke ideology? To woke ideology, what is the authority? Man. It's man. It's the ideas that man can come up with. It's the ideas that man creates. And it goes back to, we don't need a creator because we are the creators. So therefore, our new ideas that we're coming up with of how a man should be and a woman should be and how a family should be and how a society should be and how a government should be and all of these things that God has laid out in His Word are opposed to His Word. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people that would say in the wokeism following, say, oh, I believe the Bible. But what they like to do is just to take certain passages or verses out of context. And, you know, the sky's no limit. You could take it certain ones. So we have to realize, now, what is our authority? It is the Word of God. Karl Marx did not want anything to do with the Bible or God. In fact, we'll get a little bit more into it when we talk about just the different aspects that I plan on bringing up. But one of them is social justice and others that we'll get into and see what the foundation is to that. Gender, distinction, all of those things. But I just want to lay the foundation tonight. God is a just God. He's a holy God. He's a loving God. And one of the things that I have noticed about studying woke ideology is that, folks, it does not promote unity. It breeds division. It breeds division. It turns humans against each other. Instead of from a biblical standpoint that promotes redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness, love, unity. Even acceptance, even if you don't believe like that, I'm still called to love you as I love myself. But we're to a point, even in our society, that it becomes a hostile environment. if you don't believe what I believe, we're going to make you pay. If you don't think that's happening in our culture, you've got to wake up to a woke culture. You consider the people over, even in the West Coast, even over here on our side of the country, different places that won't make wedding cakes for homosexual couples. Well, you think, well, hey, okay, you're gay, it's legal to be married, do what you do. I don't agree with it. The guy that was making the cake obviously didn't agree with it and says, I have a personal conviction against that, and I'm not going to do it. You'd think this couple would say, well, we'll just go somewhere else. Not in woke ideology. They're going to make you pay. We're going to make your life miserable. I read about a restaurant in Chicago. I can't think of the name of it. One of the most popular sandwich shops in Chicago. There were celebrities, athletic stars. I mean, just a lot of people came there. And it came out that this guy was a Bible believer. And he took a certain stand in certain areas. And I'm here to tell you, they shut him down. They took him to task. And they were very antagonistic against him because he took a stand. They want to shut you down. It's not like, oh, okay, well, they believe that. We'll go somewhere else. Mm-mm. Not so, friend. So we're not going to try to pin down all Marxist beliefs. There are probably so many offshoots on that. But, you know, what are some major differences? Well, first of all, when we compare God's word with Marxist thinking, we got to answer some major questions. Number one, what kind of beings are humans? That's a major question that's got to be answered. What kind of beings are humans? Second one is, what is humanity's core problem? We talked about that a little bit. Number three, what is humanity's... Now, this is a big one. I mean, these all three are just major when identifying woke ideology is what is humanity's hope for redemption? Because there's a teaching out there. And by the way, you all and I both know that when Satan's working, he always makes things look pretty on the outside. Would you agree to that? He's a professional at disguising. He's a professional at hiding. And he does that with this teaching. You know, of course, if you were to come up to me, listen, do you want to help the oppressed and those who are suffering from injustice? Everybody in their right mind in this room be like, yes! Sign me up. I want to be there for people that are hurting. If I can help, I want to help. And we should be as believers. That's not the point. That's what they paint a lot of time on the picture. But you dig down in there a little bit and you're going to find that their doctrine is against this book. And we just got to be ready. We don't hate. We show love. A lot of you folks work with people with different views that do not have a biblical worldview. And you hear the comments and the different things, and you know what you do? You show them the love of Christ. Because you might just be the example that teaches them how to love someone they disagree with. Those three questions, I'm going to say this quickly. The way we would answer these questions from a biblical perspective is, number one, we are created beings. Amen? You're created in the image of God for His glory, designed to have relationship with Him and one another. And He's given us authority over all creation. We believe that the second question here can be answered with our core problem. Our core problem is sin. And I tell people often, especially in the realm of racism, I believe wholeheartedly that racism is not a skin issue as much as it is a sin issue. Because man is filled with pride. Anybody that thinks they're better than somebody else because of their ethnicity or because of where they came from, that is wicked. It's sin. It comes from the root is sin. That's the problem. And to for me or to you or to anybody to think that, we have to understand that man needs a redeemer, because in the church of the New Testament and through the ages, it is made up of Jews and Gentiles. All different backgrounds, all different colors, all different what cultures, all different languages. Thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we can be one in Him. And we are. And we can't let this world build up a hatred in our hearts for anybody. Because Satan wins when we find hatred being just fed into our hearts and minds. That's not of God. And so with this study, I hope that we can get into some of the specifics and what the Bible says about it. But this message here was just a foundational message, sort of an introduction to our subject, because we understand that the hope of humanity is found in the gospel. And that's what we are to emphasize. Yes, do we need to make sure things are fair? Absolutely. Yes, do we need to make sure people are being taken care of that can't help themselves? Absolutely. The Bible teaches that strongly. But what Marxism and woke ideology teaches is that humans are the creators. Humanity's core problem is socioeconomic structure, and also teaches that the hope of humanity is found in revolution. A lot of this stuff that you're seeing around our world and our country, anarchy, just destruction, that's not of God. And we have to approach it in a way as God's people that would honor the Lord and bring and breed unity for the glory of God. So as I finish out my just the opening tonight, my encouragement to all of us is to realize that the whatever the Lord does, it brings good and unity. And the Bible teaches us clear that be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. We overcome evil with good. That's our goal. May the Lord help us, and may we teach it and preach it, but more importantly, may we live it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just allowing us to be together tonight. I trust that you'll help us as we study the Word to truly understand your mind in these things. I believe that there is many teachings out there that distract us from your Word, that try to replace your Word, and it's Satan's strategy. And I just pray that you would help Crooked Creek Baptist Church to be mindful of that and to be just discerning people of God who love each other with a godlike love, who strive to build each other up, who strive to go out and help, Lord, those that are in our community that are hurting. Yes, but Lord, help us to understand our primary focus is to get people the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And while we're doing that, Lord, I pray that we would just be full of compassion, especially towards those that have experienced injustice. Oh, Lord, especially of those that are just in a time of poverty in their life where they just need help. I think we would all be guilty, Lord, of not doing enough for the poor. I pray that we would truly be mindful of how you have blessed us all in different ways. But I pray that we would always be mindful to use what you've given us. however little, however large, I pray we would use it for your glory and for the gospel's sake. So, Lord, I commit myself and our church to you, thanking you for your greatness tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I do appreciate you all and appreciate your prayers as we look at this together. And I certainly invite questions that you may have. And what I'd like to do, if you have any questions that you would like me to address or something that that as we work through these, I just want to open it up for you to send me an email so that I can consider your question or your comment and see how, you know, it would correlate with our study. But I want to invite that. It's BrinsonJennings@gmail.com, all lowercase. You can send that to me. And I'd be glad if I feel like it's appropriate, certainly would like to, you know, address that if you have a question along these lines. And certainly I'm thankful that each of you out here that I believe are spirit-filled people. And we're ready to go out here and love this world to Jesus. Amen. I mean, really, I mean, this world is dark. Brother Jimmy and I were talking about this the other day. You know, I think about that young man that went into the school there. And did that awful act, and murdered those innocent people. I think upon the fact of, I wonder what kind of godlike influence he had had in his history, in his past. I wonder if he had anybody take him to Sunday school. I wonder if he had anybody take him to a Wednesday night children's teens meeting. Doesn't appear that he had a mom and daddy that was in a loving relationship, loving him, teaching him about the Bible. You know, I think upon that. But I just want to tell you this. God will use you to impact people just like that young man. You never know. So just pray that, Lord, use me to be a blessing to someone today when you go out. And you just never know what difference you might make in doing that.